In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdal. It is Friday today, the 10th of February. Good as always to have you with us, everybody. As President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe begin their golf weekend in Florida today, that is the people running the biggest and third biggest economies on the planet. It is worth taking a step back, I believe, to take a look at the week that was in the global economy. Here to do it with us are Neela Richardson at Redfin. Cardiff Garcia is at the blog FT Alphaville. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
So, Neela, let me start with you and a report that came out today from Fitch Ratings, one of the big three credit ratings agencies. And they said in this evaluation of the global economy, and this is a quote, "The Trump administration represents a risk to international economic conditions. U.S. policy predictability has diminished, raising the prospect of sudden, unanticipated changes in U.S. policies with potential global implications." I wonder, Neela, whether the global economy knew what it was getting itself into when Donald Trump became president of the United States.
Well, if they didn't, they do now. Yes, that's right. Fitch actually thinks a risk to the global economy, an economy that has been stagnating, has had very slow growth in the last few years, that there's a big risk to the Trump administration's policies going forward. And it's not just the policies. It's the fact that the economy can't predict these policies. Yeah. There's an aggressive stance, an American first attitude in which companies are being discouraged, actually, to invest abroad. There's a discouragement also for foreign companies and investors to invest in the United States. And since no one knows the direction of the policies and where they will ultimately lead, it's hard for foreign governments to plan. Fitch is saying that's a risk to their very ability to raise debt in the capital markets.
Cardiff, let me go to the phone call last night between President Xi Jinping and President Trump. A last-minute turnaround in which the president said, oh, yeah, we are going to abide by the One China policy, which, if you remember back in December, he had said, we'll use it as a bargaining chip, whatever. Now here he is calling the president of China the second biggest economy in the world. This is all happening at a very high level.
At a very high level, I should also add that things are happening at a very fast pace and that Trump has changed his mind multiple times on other issues before. So next week we might be talking about some new kind of confrontation. Who knows? But if not, then I think this is a sort of welcome addition to stability. Whether it lasts is anybody's guess. But as Neela said, it's important to bring up things like uncertainty, like unpredictability, because these things sound like squishy topics, but not everything that matters to the global economy is easy to quantify or easy to measure. So to the extent that there is somewhat of a softening happening, and there aren't too many signs of it, but to the extent that it does happen, then I think it's something to be welcomed.
So, Neela, on a domestic policy front, then, the president said yesterday when he was talking to those airline CEOs, he said, we're going to have a phenomenal tax plan, at which point Republicans in Congress went, whoa, wait a minute. We have to deal with Obamacare and a bunch of other stuff before we get to the tax plan. There is a domestic unpredictability here in a macroeconomic sense that plays as well.
Right. There is. And remember how Trump got elected. It was for Rust Belt economics, people who voted for him because of their pocketbooks, because of what he would do in the economy, not abroad. And so that should be the focus. And yet that focus is being supplanted by all these other executive orders that cover Obamacare and travel bans and don't really seem to be going back to the voting issue, which is the economy. And the good news is, though, that Trump could actually provide that stability, that predictability, both at home and abroad. And if that were to happen, we might see some good things. It's possible from some of the things that are in the works, like an overhaul of corporate taxes.
Yeah. Cardiff, let me actually pick up on what you said about stuff getting bogged down. It's becoming somewhat more clear that the big economic things that the president campaigned on, things like infrastructure, things like tax reform, are in fact going to not happen as fast because the White House and the body politic is having to deal with all of this other stuff.
Yeah, I think so far from all the reports we've had, it seems increasingly obvious that at least in these initial phases, the Trump administration seems a bit overwhelmed or even outmatched by the job itself. And they're learning that it requires quite a lot of coordination and collaboration to roll out big ideas, because if not, then the sheer controversy that ensues ends up bogging you down. I mean, running a country is very different from running a business. And I think they're learning that really quite quickly. And it looks like they're frustrated by it.
Yeah, Neela, go ahead.
And Kai, the biggest difference is that when you run a country, people say no to you a lot. Not so much when you run a family business.
Well, pick it up there, Cardiff, and discuss what it means in practical terms, right? Because the president used to sort of run his company as he would and now just can't.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Keep in mind also that a lot of Trump's businesses in the past, certainly the ones that have succeeded, have been sort of focused on image, right? Well,
yeah,
image
yeah.
matters, and we learned that in the election, certainly. But at the same time, you also have to produce results. And running a country means you have many, many different constituents, not just your own pocketbook and not just your own company's stakeholders, right?
Yeah.
And so accommodating everybody is a really difficult task. It means that you have to compromise. You have to essentially help other people compromise as well. And that means you have to have, you have to have your fingers in almost everything. And it's really hard. It's a big coordination task. And you can see that so far, at least, he's been frustrated quite a bit by just everything that it entails. But that's the job. That is the job.
Cardiff Garcia at the blog FT Alphaville. Neela Richardson at Redfin. Thanks, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kai.